Three, two, one. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to No Time for Neutral. I'm your host, Georgia Hawthorne.
And I'm Andy.
And Andy, it was election day yesterday, just not in Montana.
Oh, yeah.
It was
Special
election day
election.
yesterday in Middle Tennessee. There was a special election for a House seat in their 7th district. And that district was a Trump plus 22 district in 2024. So Donald Trump beat Kamala Harris in the presidential race last year by 22 points in this same district.
And that's a lot. So, like,
That's a
it
lot.
should, in a normal time, be very Republican, right?
Right. You would expect them to not think twice about this, not spend any time or money, like whatever, this is a walk. No problem. That is not how this race ended up shaking out. It didn't catch a whole lot of attention until the last week or two leading up to the election, as the nature of politics goes. But the race was between Afton Bain, who's the Democrat, and Matt Van Epps, who was the Republican. And everyone has been kind of watching this election as an off-year read on how voters are responding to the Trump administration for the
Right.
second time. Because it's not like we have really anything other than that between a presidential election and a midterm election to kind of gauge where the electorate is feeling. And so after results came in last night, Afton Bain, the Democrat, she cut the margin in that district to single digits. She lost by 9, which is a 13-point swing, which is pretty significant.
That's amazing.
If you think
Wow.
about 13%, that's one in every 10 people in that
Right.
district flipped
And for
their vote.
that many people to basically switch from a Republican vote to a Democrat vote in 1 year's time, that's pretty telling that they're
Right.
rejecting what Donald Trump is trying to give us.
Yeah, voters are not buying what these guys are selling.
Right.
But to like, she forced Republicans to focus on a race that they wouldn't usually have to focus on. And the way that like the RNC, the DNC, the big national political parties work is that they have lower staffs and lower budgets in off years, like 2025. They don't have nearly the resources that they have available to them in a midterm year or in a presidential year.
Right.
And so because State Representative Bain like forced Republicans to spend time here. They spent $3 million on an off-year election in a Trump plus 22 district.
Wow.
And if that's where we're at, like if I was a Republican, I would be freaking out.
Yeah, because that means they're going to have to spend a lot of money on their vulnerable seats.
Right. I
Wow.
mean, for context, Zinke won his 2024 race by about 8 points.
Right.
So, like, I think I saw a statistic that there are over 40 House Republicans currently in office that won their 2024 races by 12 points or less.
Yeah.
So, if we look at the swing of Tennessee 7,
And
and
compare it to Montana 1, that could be a win for the Democrat candidate.
yeah, like that could be a win there. It could be a win in a lot of places. Like we could see a blue wave larger than 2018 if these numbers and this kind of rhetoric messaging and all of the little tiny things that go into driving election results like this, if everything were to stay the same as it was in Middle Tennessee leading up to their special, yeah, Democrats would pick up probably 30, 35 seats.
Wow, that's amazing.
Which is crazy. And I know it's really easy to get lost in the numbers and be like, oh my God, everything is so awesome and great. And I'm so excited. And like the tide is starting to turn and like be excited. That's like the whole reason we pay attention to this is for the candidates we want to win and to like see those results delivered. But also the work can't stop here.
Exactly. And we can't be complacent and
Right.
just
And we've
think.
done a really good job, pretty much at every level up and down the board, of pointing out, hey, no, these guys made this decision. And that's why this is happening.
Yeah.
And that has to like we have to keep beating that drum from now until Election Day 26 if we want that result to even be a possibility. But I think there's two more special elections that we will keep an eye on that are coming up early next year. We've got a special election in New Jersey, for now Governor Mikey Sherrill's seat.
She has to run next year already?
Well, no, so she was currently a representative, and then when she got elected governor, she had to vacate that seat, and so they have to fill some
Oh,
until the last. Yeah.
her
It
congressional seat.
yes, sorry. Yeah, it's all like it's all kinds of wonky when you have electeds moving positions and then you have to backfill spots.
Right. Okay. Thanks for clarifying
No,
that.
that's my fault. And then there's another one in Georgia, for Marjorie Taylor Greene's seat.
Yeah, MTG. Okay.
And she will be done in early January. And I think the thing I'm watching here, especially in the Georgia special, because Georgia is much more of a swing state than New Jersey is. Not that Marjorie's district is a swing district, but Georgia as a whole is. And with ACA ex subsidies expiring at the end of December, and these special elections slated for early in the new year. I'm going to be paying attention to see if that has any effect from this special to those specials, especially if we don't have a backup plan. But you remember when Republicans shut down the government so that they didn't have to give everyone health care,
Oh, yeah.
set the longest record in government history so that people didn't have to have affordable health care. Yeah, they still have no plan. Still no plan there.
Go figure.
Yeah, so those expire at the end of the year. And there was some really great reporting that came out this week from Montana Free Press, about how these subsidy expirations are affecting Montanans, like right here, right now, our neighbors. There's a rancher out in Busby, which is about an hour and a half away from Billings. Him and his wife are currently paying about $650 for health insurance coverage. And after the subsidies expire, they'll be paying $2,400 a month
Whoa.
in insurance coverage. And like he's a rancher. He needs health insurance. There are way too many things that can go wrong in ranch life to not have some kind of health insurance. And
That's like a
so
400% increase.
yeah. So they're kind of just scrambling and trying to figure out where they're going to find this extra money. Because he has to have the insurance. He doesn't have the option of going without it. There's a retired woman in Boulder. She was paying $0. She qualified for a full subsidy for her health insurance. And now that that subsidy is going away, she'll be paying $785 a month.
On a fixed income.
Yeah, because she's retired. So she's choosing to go uninsured, but she's only 61. And so she's not eligible for Medicare for another 4 years. There's a couple in Livingston who's going from 1200 to 2800 a month. And they're having to pull money away from their retirement accounts to pay their health insurance. There's a woman in Hot Springs who's paying $540 a month, and that's going up to 1200 a month. And she's choosing to go uninsured until she qualifies for Medicaid or for Medicare next year. Like these are
That's
real life
insane.
people.
Yeah, that's insane. Our government needs to do something. The fact that these Montana residents are going to see a 400 or 500% increase on their health insurance is insane. We all need health insurance. The fact that a 61-year-old woman has decided to wait 4 years to be covered until she can get on Medicaid is unacceptable when we live in the richest country in the world.
Right.
Congress
Also,
truly needs to get its shit together.
And I've been seeing this like pushback of like, okay, well, if you can't afford the health insurance, then like you either need to spend less money in other places or go without the health insurance. And there's two problems there. I know that I have a great job that pays me well and has good benefits, but I know that if I got told that next month I was going to have to pay an extra $800 a month, I would have no idea what to do with that whatsoever.
That's a lot of money in one month.
Right. Like $20, $30. Okay, sure, I guess. Like, that's like a week, if not 2 weeks, of work for some folks.
Yeah, this will bankrupt people.
Right. And then the choice to go uninsured, which is what a lot of people are having to do, has such an impact on the healthcare system for everyone else. When the healthcare system is burdened by a bunch of people having to go to the ER because they're uninsured and they wait until the last possible minute to seek care, the hospital has to eat those costs and then they have to reduce services and reduce staff, close. And like, we have enough of a problem with rural hospitals that, like, at this point, if you live in Montana, it doesn't matter if you have health insurance on the marketplace. Because there is a very real future in which you are having to drive an extra 2 hours anyways.
This like
Because
not having a plan thing with our Montana delegation led by Republicans, they are doing zero favors for rural hospitals.
right. Because you forget, like, don't forget the Medicaid cuts from the big, beautiful bill that are already like hurting rural hospitals. This, on top of everything, is kind of scary. Like, I'm scared for our neighbors and I'm scared for our healthcare system that is already struggling because of how rural our state is.
And the thing is, like, it's such a partisan argument, but it is like healthcare is not a partisan thing. Everybody needs healthcare. Everybody needs insurance, red or blue. But the Republicans don't have a plan and they're greedy as shit. So here we are.
Nailed it. They've been tossing around all kinds of different ideas. Basically, there's about 800 different factions of the Republican Party right now, and they all have different opinions about what to do about health insurance. And please keep in mind, these subsidies expire in less than 30 days. So, like, we're kind of working on a time crunch here, especially because you know these guys are not going to stay at work over Christmas break.
That's true. They don't miss a vacation opportunity.
No, the house is on vacation all summer long.
Yeah. I saw something today. They had like 43 days worth of vacation just since this summer.
Wouldn't that be nice?
What kind of job allows for that? And to still continue working and get paid, take more vacation by the time the year's
Right.
over when there's only a month left in the year. It's insane. Truly
Also,
insane.
like, don't get me started on this because I'll go on a whole tangent, but like, these guys also have the audacity to have the best healthcare in the world. They can get anything they need at any moment's notice, and they don't have to worry about it. And they're sitting there in Washington, hemming and hawing about who pays for what and whether or not you can take your kid to the primary care doc.
100%. And they continue to get paid during a government shutdown.
One of the things that like really angered me is I saw a proposal. I think it was from Josh Hawley, who's a Republican from Missouri. He was like, we just don't need the Affordable Care Act anymore, and we're just gonna make healthcare expenses tax deductible up to like $25,000. First of all, have you ever seen a hospital bill in the United States? Because it's more than $25,000. Second of all, the problem with like trying to deduct it out of people's taxes isn't that necessarily that's not necessarily the problem, is that people are paying taxes on the money that they're paying to go to the doctor. The problem is that healthcare is so expensive in this country that people don't have that amount of money in their back pocket at any given time. So, like, you can make it tax deductible all you want, but if I don't have the $3,000 in the first place to go get whatever I need done, that doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, we're not all, living off of a US senator's salary.
Right? Like, these guys could not make it more obvious that, like, they have no clue what it's like to be a normal person. But so we've got that idea. The president has floated this idea of just sending people money. And this one check that we're going to send you is going to solve all of your healthcare problems.
See, this is Donald Trump's thing. He loves sending the American people a check with his name on it because it looks like, oh, look at me. I truly do care for you. I'm sending you money directly. Well, that money is a drop in the bucket. It's so small. It doesn't go very far. Our governor, Gianforte, likes to do the same thing. It's bullshit. It's a total scam.
And for like all these guys who are like, oh, I'm pro-life, I'm pro-family, I'm pro-child, all of these things. Do you know how much it costs to have a child in this country? Like just childbirth, like just like the appointments leading like through pregnancy and then like actual birth is like tens and tens of thousands of dollars, provided you don't have any complications. Like nothing goes wrong.
It wasn't that long ago that Donald Trump was floating the idea of paying women checks for getting pregnant and having more babies.
God, I forgot about
Remember
that.
that? That wasn't that long ago.
I do. I forgot about that. But speaking of them hating women and their autonomy, another idea they floated is just extending the subsidies, like the original plan. But only if they get to add a whole bunch of restrictions on abortion and birth control.
Of course.
Because one of the tenets of the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare was that birth control, family planning, those kinds of things were preventative care because they are.
Right.
And so they are covered under the Affordable Care Act. And Republicans hate this. And they have from the jump. They've just never had the ability to get rid of it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So where it came from is Susan B. Anthony, Pro-Life America or something like that. They're a big nonprofit. And they're very politically active. And they had made a statement that said that they were going to grade the vote on ACA subsidies. And that they would reflect it in their scorecard come election time. And what they mean by scorecard is there's all kinds of groups that have these. The NRA has them, Montana Conservation Voters has them. It's basically says, hey, we're an organization, here's what we focus on, and we're gonna give X politician whatever grade. But these scorecards can have a decent amount of swing during election time. So like if you're a gun guy and the only thing you care about is the Second Amendment, and the NRA sends you a thing that says, hey, here's how we feel about these politicians, that's how you're gonna vote. And so these Republicans are absolutely terrified to try to extend subsidies without like pulling these abortion provisions out, because then all of the pro-life crowd is gonna turn around and sell them out come election time as being a fake conservative, and you know the lines. But so, moral of the story is Montanans are in a really tough place. Americans are in a really tough place. And it's just the Real Housewives of the Republican Party out in Washington. They're just bickering and arguing and getting absolutely nothing done while the rest of us try to figure out how to keep our lives together. And I think it just goes to show that although they've proved it time and time again, this Republican Party and this administration can't govern to save anyone's life at this point.
Yep, that's the reality. Before we move on from healthcare, I just want to acknowledge because the Trump administration did not, December 1st was World AIDS Day. And why it's important to me is I used to work for an LGBT nonprofit where we advocated all the time for folks to know their status, get tested, and spread awareness about HIV/AIDS. So I'm well versed and acquainted with the history. And like in the 80s, not that long ago, we basically went a full decade without President Reagan even mentioning the words AIDS, HIV, or talking about it, let alone funding prevention efforts. But once they finally like started supporting research into, you know, supporting people that had this virus, people's lives were beginning to be saved, right? And like, you know, the 90s hit and they had medication for it. And World AIDS Day became a recognized day. And governments would actually acknowledge, like, this is what's happening on December 1st. This is why people need to pay attention. This is why everybody needs to be tested, no matter who you sleep with. It's very important. and like just acknowledging that, right? And so Donald Trump and the administration not acknowledging World AIDS Day on December 1st is a massive slap in the face to me and the LGBTQ plus community and those that have fought for years to bring this subject to the table for all Americans, let alone around the world. For them not to like say anything about it is a huge slap in the face and something that hasn't not been acknowledged for over 30 years. And while part of the reason I'm sure they don't want to talk about it is because Trump has been cutting f international funding for AIDS support internationally under the radar, which is detrimental because, like, you know, we've really been able to like
Make progress.
make progress in the United States, but internationally, especially in African countries, like so many thousands and thousands of people are living with HIV. And so there are USDA programs that, you know, have like worked on preventative efforts there. And so the Trump administration is actively trying to cut these, just like wipe them out. It's going to be detrimental for countries around the world and here. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox, but I
No,
really
please.
just
I think that was
wanted
great
to
speech.
say how much that bugged me and how like important, like it's still important for people to educate themselves on HIV and STIs, and it's all very important stuff.
I think things like that are really important, actually, because it helps us make sure that like we can still see the trees even when we're in the forest, because like shit is moving so fast and things are so bad all the time that it's very easy to not see other things. And like, yes, it might not be as significant to you, but that doesn't change the fact that this is still how the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, is like choosing to spend his time.
He truly doesn't care about these people.
And I saw something similar to you that after they cut all of that funding from USAID, which is all of our foreign aid, like hundreds
USAID.
of thousands
I said
of,
USDA.
whatever, they're
Thanks for
close
correcting.
enough. I don't even think USAID officially exists anymore. So I'm pretty sure it's been officially disbanded at this point.
Yeah, Doge like destroyed it.
But so they used to do food programs, clean water programs, HIV/AIDS programs, malaria programs, like all of those things that we have the privilege of not having to be constantly worried about all of the time because we live in the United States. We cut that funding for all of those programs, and now hundreds of thousands of people that don't have the privilege to live here have died because our president said, I don't care about you, actually, for no real reason. All right, Andy, would you believe me if I told you that there were more shitty things Republicans were doing, but this time at the state level?
I believe
Yeah.
you.
So we told all of you guys a few weeks ago about a Public Service Commission hearing, a PSC hearing for another Northwestern energy increase. And they had their hearings, they had their discussions, and to su no one's surprise, they approved it. But so The PSC said Northwestern Energy can force consumers to pay $246 million of their fossil fuels plant costs for the one they built down in Laurel. I haven't seen any concrete numbers yet on how much this will raise bills, but we will let you guys know as soon as we know. But how that vote actually shook out was everyone voted yes, one person abstained, no one voted no, and Montanans just got sold out to another corporation for like the third time in the last like 2 or 3 years now.
Yet again. Yeah, this is infuriating. I would really encourage those listening, if you don't know a lot about the PSC, the Public Service Commission, and what they do to regulate our utilities in Montana, read up on it because they have been screwing the pooch multiple times over. And just regular Montanans are feeling the brunt of it. If you've noticed your utility bill go up, it's because these five knuckleheads, who happen to all be Republicans on the PSC board, are just letting corporations, Northwestern Energy, do whatever they want. And we're paying the brunt of it.
Their
It's a
whole
monopoly,
job
and therefore they
is,
can. And they're
yeah.
only accountable to these like five folks, which are elected, by the way, by Montanans. But the reason they're all Republicans is because these maps are gerrymandered. And so it sucks, but it's the reality right now. And so pay attention to the PSC.
I would agree. They have literally one job, and it's to protect the consumer from utility monopolies. That's why the board exists. That's their whole job. And raise your hand if you don't feel protected from Northwestern Energy, because hello.
Protect the people from utility monopolies. That's their job, and that's what they do not do.
Literally. Oh my God. But we also have an update on our lovely governor.
What'll
Greg,
Greg do now, Georgie?
God. Greg has been out and about trying lots of different things to make sure that Montanans forget that he was willing to let them starve last month.
Yeah, haven't forgotten.
No, but just as a recap, while the government was shut down, Republicans used SNAP, which is food stamps, as a hostage tool, essentially, and refused to release the money to poorer people who need it for groceries, unless the government was reopened.
Right. And this
And
was money that our state legislature
right.
allocated this spring for emergencies to support people
Right.
directly
It was
if this were to
specifically for
happen.
when the feds fall through, for like when we're expecting money to come in from the federal government for whatever reason and it doesn't come, this is our plan B.
Yes. And our governor would not allow that money to go to the people that needed it.
Yeah, all he had to do was put a signature on a piece of paper, authorize the funds, and feed people. That's it. But in the last week or so, he's been very public. There was a photo and an article of him volunteering at the food bank and him talking about how important it is for us to show up as a community and for neighbors to feed neighbors. And although, like, the things coming out of his mouth sound correct, you don't get to do that. You don't get to deny people food and say, no, good luck, you're on your own. I'd rather play politics. And then turn around and spend 20 minutes at a food bank for a photo op. You don't get to do that.
Yeah. It's
Especially because
hypocrisy at its
Drake's a
finest.
millionaire.
Yeah, the whole thing a couple of weeks ago when he was like, I'm going to personally write a check. Like, okay, Greg, not all of us are millionaires, or actually he's a billionaire, I believe, and can just write a check or have a great photo op in the
Like, it was just like the sheer irony of it. Like, you're showing up to the food bank because the food bank is understaffed. Like, they don't have enough product. That's why you're showing up to volunteers, because the food banks need help. But they probably wouldn't be in as bad of a position if you would have just fed people from the jump.
With money that was already allocated in a bipartisan manner to go to Montanans that needed it because they expected the federal government to do what they did. That's how much our governor cares about the people that live in Montana. And rather than old Greg just showing up at a food bank with all the cameras and media to get a good picture, like there actually are people doing the work at food banks. Like, we've been doing a push as the Montana Democratic Party to get our volunteers to go to food banks in order to support these people because both our federal government and our state Montana government aren't doing anything. So, I mean, our
And like
legislature did, but our governor screwed us. So,
the thing that like drives me crazy is that like he didn't even have to get up. He had to like get up and put on an outfit and get in the car and drive to the food bank and like be the governor and like take all the photos and like do the whole show when he could have just like sat in his office and like scribbled in the corner and like never had to do any of it. And like maybe I'm just an introvert, but like if those are my options, I'm not picking this like big, showy, like inconvenient option. And I think it's notable that like us as a party, like we showed up when we like didn't have to. We're not in power. We're not the governor. And yet we still showed up and said, "Hey, you know what? People are not going to starve, not on my watch." And so we did what we could. But I promise you, it would have been a hell of a lot easier if we had a Democratic governor.
Hell of a lot easier. This
Because
wouldn't
they would have
have
just signed the piece of
happened.
paper.
And we, like, I just also want to point out, like, we would be no worse off financially as a state because of that, because this was allocated money
Right.
for this specific reason to help
Yeah.
Montanans if SNAP was cut off.
I don't know, man. At the end of the day, like Montanans don't want someone who's gonna like say nice things and like give them lip service and like have all these fancy photo ops. They just want a guy who's gonna like show up when it matters and get the hell out of their way any other time.
For sure.
And he can't be that. So,
Yeah, I won't miss him when his term's up. I'm just saying.
me either. But, let's try to end this on a somewhat happy note. I think last time we talked, we were complaining about the snow, and at least where I'm at in Great Falls, it's snowy.
Is it? Yeah, we
It's
got dumped
yeah, it's been
on.
pretty snowy the last couple of days.
I'm ready. I love a white Christmas season and
I get so
snow on the
annoyed when
ground.
it's cold and not snowy. Like if
That's
it's
the worst.
cold, it needs to be snowy. But if it's not going to snow, then like you do not get to be that cold.
There was a couple winters, so I drive back to Culbertson down the High Line every Christmas to spend it with my family. And there was a couple years in a row where it was barren. But it was
Have many a storm
super cold.
drive. But yeah, I mean, I went out to Coeur d'Alene for Thanksgiving to be with my partner's family, and it didn't really snow while we were out there. And then we got back into the state and we were like, snowed here. Of course it did. And then part of 200 was closed because of an accident. And so we had to like divert on a 90 and then go through Helena. And we were like, oh, okay, it's winter.
Yeah,
So.
be careful on those roads, people. Get your winter tires ready. Put a shovel in your trunk.
Cat litter. That's another good one. So that if you ever get stuck, you can throw it under your tires.
Drive cautiously.
Yes. All right. Well, folks, I think that's about what we've got for you this week. I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving last week and that you are staying warm as we finish out the year. And we'll see you next
Happy December.
week.